All right, there we go. I'm turned on. Thank you. So my wife and three children, we hearkened from Madison, Wisconsin. We were thankful to have the highways plowed this morning as we came out. We're part of Red Village Church, which is a church plant in Madison West High School. We're about 7 years old, and today we're voting on buying a building. So we're excited about that. And so I serve there. And I'm grateful to be here with you all this morning. So if you have a Bible or if you need a Bible, you can grab one, I think, in the front of the seat. Oh, they're in the back. Okay, I was going to say pew, but you can grab one in the seat in front of you. We're in the book of Hebrews today. So we're in Hebrews chapter 4, and we're just going to look at three verses in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. And they are going to be found on the overhead there. There we go. So I'll be reading here. Let's read. Let's look at this together. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. All right, you may be seated. That's our great tradition. You guys stand during the reading of God's word? It's a great, great tradition. So I have a journal that I use kind of in my devotional life. And in the front, I write things that God's teaching me. I'll read some scripture and write and say some prayers. And then in the back, I sort of have my prayer lists. In the back, I have, you know, family and things that I'm praying for, things that I'm thinking about that I want to see answers to. And so I keep that in the back. And yet, if I'm honest, sometimes I don't pray confidently. Sometimes I have other priorities other than praying because I'm not always confident that God's going to answer. I believe that God's going to answer, but sometimes I don't act like it. Sometimes I know that there's things I'm praying for, and yet I don't pray with confidence. I know that God hears. I know that God loves me. But sometimes when I pray, I don't act like it. I don't pray with confidence. There was a church in the first century, and as the writer of Hebrews wrote, they were a church that was lacking confidence as well. Confidence in God, confidence in Jesus. And so the writer of Hebrews gives us reasons that we, as just average, everyday Christians here in the 21st century, why we can pray with confidence. We can pray with confidence. And the writer of Hebrews gives us three reasons to pray with confidence. We can pray with confidence, number one, because of God's character. We can pray with confidence. And we find that in verse 14. The writer tells us, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. So in verse 14, it says, so Jesus is our high priest. He's our mediator between us and God, the Heavenly Father. But he doesn't say that Jesus is a high priest. He says Jesus is a great high priest. The Greek word for that is mega. Jesus is our mega high priest. He's not a normal high priest that would intercede or intervene for us before the throne of grace, but he's a mega high priest. And there's even something additional that the author tells us. He's not just a high priest who has gone through the heavens. He's Jesus, the Son of God. This is not a high priest that's human that allows us access to God. This is Jesus, the Son of God, the mega high priest. There was a gentleman years ago that wrote a book called Your God is Too Small. And the writer of Hebrews would tap into that And that we're reminded that we boldly approach God's throne of grace because God's light now shines in our heart so that we have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We have a different vision now because of Jesus and his high priestly ministry. We can view the very holiness of God, the very access to God's throne room through the work of Jesus. You know, there's a word that's called adoress. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. The word adoress comes from the word adore. And there's a great phrase that says, when I look at the world, I become distressed. When I look at myself, I become depressed. Yet when I look to Christ, I adoress. Meaning, when I look to Christ, I adore because he is my great high priest. And one reason we don't pray with confidence is we lack a vision of God's power. Jesus was weak in that he was born in a stable. He had a pedestrian occupation as a carpenter. He was crucified as a criminal. Yet resurrected again, he is now at a place of unequaled power. He's enthroned in the very presence of God, acting as our high priest. And so we can approach God boldly because of Jesus' character. The single most repeated Old Testament verse in the New Testament is Psalm 110, verse 1, where the writer says, "Sit at my right hand until I make enemies a footstool for your feet." This is in the beginning of Hebrews, and it's repeated throughout the New Testament. It's because Jesus is at the throne. Theologians call this that Jesus is in session. Jesus, the Son of God. The Apostles' Creed reminds us that Jesus not only rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, but now he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, and one day he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Jesus is our mega high priest, and he is in session. He is God himself. Thomas Goodwin uses this wonderful phrase. He was an old Puritan. And this is how he told his people to pray. When we approach God our Father, he says, "Sue him for it. Sue him for it. Do not leave him alone. Pester him as if he were it was with his own promise. Quote scripture to him, and you know, God delights to hear us doing it as a father likes to see this element in his own child who has obviously been listening to what the father has been saying. Boldly we approach God's throne of grace because Jesus is our great mediator. We now have this way of approaching the very presence of God because Jesus is our mega high priest. We lean into God's character for him to answer prayer. One reason we don't pray is sometimes we have distraction. We lack a vision of God in prayer because of distraction. Here's what one writer wrote. He says, "I approach the throne of grace encumbered with 1,000 distractions of thought, each of which seems to engage more and more of my attention than the business I have at hand." Who wrote that? John Newton, almost over 300 years ago. Can you imagine the more distractions that we have today? One writer writes, "Binging on the cotton candy of worldly amusements cannot nourish a living soul. Christ's sufficiency bears directly on our lives, providing us a feast of eternal joy and significance." You know, today we have e-trade, e-mail, e-harmony, e-vite, e-commerce, eBay. Yet they all serve as distractions of this heavenly vision we have of Christ and his character so that we can boldly approach God in prayer. We need to pray with our Bibles open so that we have clarity about Jesus and his character and his willingness to answer our prayer. My daughter Emma recently was taking piano lessons and she was having trouble reading the notes. And so she went to an optometrist. And as you've maybe had one of these appointments, they put two lenses before your eyes. And Emma would say, "Well, it's fuzzy." And they put the lenses on, it's clearer. They put another lens on, it's clearer. And then the third, finally, it's in perfect focus. That's what Scripture does to us. Through the lens of Scripture, we see with clarity God's character, who He is, and what He's capable of. Our problems shrink when we have a vision of God and His might and His power, His willingness to answer our prayer. Hopelessness shrinks our vision of God and His willingness to work. Maybe you have a prayer list of unanswered prayer. It diminishes our visions of God's willingness to answer. But instead, the writer tells us that we have this high priest, and he tells us, and Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to this faith that we profess. Let us hold firmly to this faith we profess. That word firmly is the same word that's used in Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, where the angel seized the ancient serpent, the devil, and bound him for 1,000 years. The writer's telling us, seize this vision of God. Hold firmly to this vision of God. Hold firmly to this vision of Christ. Seize a vision of the exalted Christ and the power in which He is able to answer. God is able. He is powerful to accomplish what only God can do. He is strong and He is able. And at the end, in verse 16, he says, He is able to give mercy and to give us grace in our very time of need. So we are confident in prayer because of God's character. Number two, we are confident in prayer because of our access to God, because of our great high priest that provides access for us. That's in verse 15. For we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. In His weakness and temptation, Jesus identifies with our weakness and temptation. Yet in His perfect obedience, He secures for us unlimited access before God's throne of grace. Let's pretend that we're all in the temple right now, and in the very back you have sort of the outer courts. And only certain people are allowed in the inner court right here. Some would not have access. And let's pretend that this is the holy place. Many would not have access to the holy place right here. There is only one who could go to the most holy place, into the very throne room of God, and that's the great high, that's a high priest. And but what Jesus is telling us is in His ministry as the high priest, we now have unlimited access, unhindered access, because of Jesus, our great high priest. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us, therefore, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body. And since we have this great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with full assurance of faith. The writer tells us that we are weak, that we struggle with sin and unbelief and in our humanity. And yet Jesus sympathizes with our weakness. He went through suffering. He went through difficulty. He is sympathetic to us. And yet He is a high priest on our behalf, allowing us into the throne room of God. We have unlimited access. One of the jobs that I had over the past couple years, they gave me an access card. And so in my job, I had access to get into the garage. And then through my access card, I then had access to get into the office. But my access card did not work in getting into places where the money was. I did not have access, unlimited access, into the CEO's office or the CFO's office. And yet, the writer of Hebrews reminds us that Jesus is our access. We have unlimited access. Why? Through the blood of Jesus, our great high priest. As we look at the holy place and the most holy place, there would be a curtain of separation that would block us off from the most holy place of God. And yet through the ministry of Jesus, the curtain is torn in two, and we now have access to this throne of grace through the curtain that is Jesus' body, we have this great high priest over the house of God. When I was in Chicago, there was a housing project called Cabrini Green that was just renowned for such difficulty and crime and pain and death. And so there was a ministry that ministered to children that were part of this housing project in Cabrini Green. And so I went to one of the meetings, and they were teaching the children how to pray. And I'll never forget the woman who was leading this meeting, full of children who had gone through unspeakable difficulty. And yet she says, God is our heavenly Father, and we come to you here today, and we don't beg. That's what she said. We come to God, our heavenly Father, here today, and she says, we don't beg. God, we ask you boldly and with confidence. Her words reflect the truth that we find here in Hebrews. We're not on this outside temple courts. We're not in the inner courts. We're not in the holy place, but we enter boldly and confidently to this most holy place because of the access that we have through Jesus. It allows us to pray boldly. It allows us, irrespective of whether we're having a good day or a bad day. Some days at work, I would have forgotten things that I was supposed to have done, and I still had unhindered access to the office. Why? Not because of my merit, but because of my access card. And the same is true of Jesus. We come not pleading our own merit, not pleading our own good deeds, but instead it's through the access of Jesus, our great high priest. So when our resolve is weak, we can boldly approach. The curtain is torn, access is allowed, and boldly we enter this throne room, pleading for God that for things in which only he can give. And our third point here we find in verse 16, we are bold in prayer. We have access because of God's generosity. We have access because of God's generosity. He says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know, one of the gifts that I give my children every year is a day at Great Wolf Lodge. And so we were just there past Wednesday. We went to Great Wolf Lodge, and we had such a great time. I call it our Florida vacation in the middle of the winter. We always go there. You know, we get cabin fever by the end of January, and so every year we go to Great Wolf Lodge, and it's one of my great gifts to my children. I love my children, and I love giving them gifts. I love blessing them. I love wanting to serve them. I love bringing them joy. It brings me joy when they have joy of gifts that I've given them. I love helping my children and giving them things that they need. And when they ask for things, I love giving them things. You know, sometimes I think, you know, I love my children so much. I love blessing them and giving them things. If only God were like that. You know, if only God were so generous, if only God were so quick and willing to answer requests, if only God were so generous with answering and quickly attentive to the needs and requests that I have. So we all know that's a lie, right? Just the opposite is true. Jesus tells us that just the opposite is true. Jesus says, Kevin, even though you are evil and know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will our Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? He tells us in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, if you ask for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. If you ask for fish, he's not going to give you a snake. God is way more generous than me. And so we come to God not pleading a heavenly Father to pry open his stingy hands, but instead, as it says here, we boldly approach the throne of grace with confidence because he's so willing to give us mercy. He's so willing to provide us grace in our time of need. It's an age of great need that we have. We have a need for more of God in our lives. We have need for God to work in new and powerful ways in Portage. We have a need for God to work in powerful and new ways in Madison, Wisconsin. Our need is very great. Our need is very great for grace, for the riches that only Jesus can give. But we have this generous God who is not crossing his arms up in heaven as he looks down on his children who are asking. He's not holding on to gifts with these stiff fingers, reluctantly prying them out and giving good gifts to his children. But instead it says we approach the throne of grace with what? Confidence. Because of God's character. Because of the access that we have to God our Heavenly Father through Jesus our great mediator. We have confidence to approach God because of his unlimited and unmerited generosity that we receive this mercy and we find grace to help us in our time of need. So maybe you're like me. Maybe there's things that you've been praying for that you've just given up. It's been too many years and you see no answer to prayer. Maybe you've been discouraged and you're wondering if God hears. Maybe you have a prayer list that has grown dusty because you've given up on whether God hears and answers prayer. Remember that we can live before God with great confidence, with great boldness, because of the ministry of Jesus, our great high priest. You know, in this whole passage, you do not find the word prayer. But this passage is about prayer. And we see it in verse 16. Let us then approach God. Isn't that what prayer is? Approaching God and asking for grace and mercy in our time of need. That's what prayer is. Approaching God, asking to receive grace, to receive mercy to help us in our time of need. So as you think about this new year, 2018, pray with confidence. Pray with boldness. Because of God's character, pray with boldness. Jesus, our great high priest. Pray with great access to God, to enter the very throne room of God, because of Jesus, our great high priest. And then pray with confidence because of God's generosity, his goodness and his mercy that he loves to give his children who believe in him. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you that we come before you because we have this great high priest whose shed blood perfectly took care of the problem of sin once and for all. He's not a high priest that has to offer sacrifices again and again and again. But instead, the work at the cross was the perfect sacrifice, offering us and providing us unlimited access to your throne of grace. Thank you for your generosity that you've so richly shown us in giving us Christ. And thank you for the access that we have. We're not on the outside, but we're insiders, able to approach your throne of grace because of Jesus. Thank you for his mediating work. Help us to pray with confidence this year. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.